Goodness me, Monday, back again. Gee, it was a nice show. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Corey Parker came in. We launched Best of Brisbane. Make sure you vote. TripleM.com.au to vote for your favourite sporting club, guys.
Sephora came in. She's been Kate Fisher from Celebrity Jungle. She's in love with you, I think, Ed.
Robin.
I love the fact that she's the first person in the time that I've been here has finished her own interview.
So good.
She'd had enough. See you later, fellas.
She hasn't been anyone. No one's known where she is even or what she's been doing for 15 years, and she's wrapping up interviews. I love that. She's fantastic. There's plenty on today, so enjoy the catch up, and we will see you soon.
Okay, look, before I joined you guys, the only thing I really knew about James O'Connor was that he was once a really great rugby union guy.
He was the second youngest Australian ever to play for the Wallabies. Second youngest junior.
Wow.
That showed he had lots of ability. He's still got lots of ability on the football field.
But he kind of has made some really dumb decisions. And then you two got in a bit of a stoush, what, 18 months ago?
When he took off in the last year of his contract from the Reds, he just buggered off. He offered nothing in the first year. And then he just, when he got better, he went overseas and took the big money in the south of France where going's easy.
And
that launched a bit of a feud.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a feud, but you're entitled to your opinion. He's entitled to say what he thought back, et cetera, et cetera. But the other week, the Global 10s run, he was playing for Toulon, and he said, I might come in the studio. And you said, great. And like adults, you sort of patched things up, and you both moved on with your lives.
All the best. Then, it was 2 years after we'd had our feud, and I figured, oh, yeah, life's moved on. I hope you're going all right. He's now a 26-year-old man. Hopefully he's a different one to the one who was 24, who was an idiot.
But you're also, it was quite a paternal moment in here because you kind of were hoping that he was going to tell you that he'd turned his life around, and luckily he did.
We've both matured, but haven't we?
We have both matured. I like to see, now that's what I wanted from you. Do you remember, I said at the time, I don't ever want to see you waste your talent. That was my best thing.
Yeah,
I want to see you. When are you ever coming back?
Yeah, well, I want to come back, so we'll see after the 10, see how I go.
I can remember when he was 17 years of age. Youngest professional footballer in Australia, okay? He was over in Perth, away from his family. I did a couple of interviews with him. We didn't end up using them, but they helped him, you know, deal with the media and stuff like that for as he got older. So I've sort of kept an eye and really admired him on the field over the years. Yeah, it's just...
So now, it's a waste of talent.
Over the weekend, he's going back to France, and then he's been picked up with Ali Williams, and they're saying, "Oh, hello, boys. Is that some cocaine you've got in your possession?"
They had the weekend off because France played against Ireland in Paris. That was a big night, and 3 a.m. They were obviously next to one of the big nightclubs and hopped in a car. Ali Williams. Yeah. Anyway,
he's been busted with powder.
He's been busted with cocaine.
Well, they're going to allege that he has. But what do you say to that, Marta? I mean, is this...
Well, where does he go now? I know the other guy, his club's already said, well, if this is true, you're gone. And I figure the same thing up with James, if it's proven to be true.
Okay.
I don't know where he goes then. Like, who's going to take him? He can't come back. None of the Australian teams will want him. Maybe he can go to Japan.
What happens in his brain? Like, after all of that...
They were drunk. Both of them were drunk. They were held in a drunk's... part of the jail, and then they transferred them into the cocaine part of the jail, apparently, a few hours later. Anyway.
But after all of that stuff, everything that's gone on for this guy...
Young guys, when you're 17, from the age of 14, he was out at Nudgee College at 13, and everyone was slapping him on the back going, you are unbelievable.
Amazing.
You are the best. And this happens with so many of these young football players. You don't need to do any schoolwork. Just as long as you're right for training the Savo and then the game on the weekend... And by the time you're 15, 16, you are good, and you believe it, and you don't think you need to carry on with any of the norms of society.
Now, this leads to a very interesting question for Toulon, because they are now down a fullback, and luckily, Marto, they have recently signed...
No, there are other fullbacks playing for Wales, so he's out too. So they don't have any fullbacks.
What do they have, though?
They have a recent rugby league recruit called Ben Barber.
Ben Barber. And the good thing about Ben Barber is he's never had any problems with illicit substances.
Oh, God, he has.
I've heard that if he's out, then their next choice for fullback is Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
And then if he can't make it, they're going to try and get Pablo Escobar. Those are the two they're looking at.
The drive on the weekend was pretty funny, Ed. You know how I was down? I had to go to Melbourne Thursday night. I flew back Friday morning after our show, flew back up to Brisbane. Hilly met me at my daughter.
Your daughter, Hillary.
18-year-old daughter who's moving to Sydney to go to uni. She met me on the Micra at the airport, and we started driving.
How many hours?
I started driving.
How many hours?
And I kept driving, and
did you do all the driving?
I did the driving all the way to Sydney. Hey, mate, we stopped at Coffs Harbour. Because we got there, it was about 7:38 at night, and I wanted to watch the Reds, so we pulled into a pub called the Hoey Moey. Coffs Harbour hadn't been there for ages. Pulled in there, there'd been a rugby league lunch on. They were all wobbly. Oh, all had the wobbly boots on. Nathan Hindmarsh, Brad Fittler, Paul Sirenin. What a day. Missed that.
Ciro?
Talking rugby league. So I watched rugby anyway. So we got a hotel, took off again. Got to Sydney, just in a Nissan Micra with her whole, an 18-year-old's whole life, which still, do you remember the days when your life did fit in the back seat of a car? Weren't they great days?
They were good
so
old days.
We got there, and then had a 50th on Friday night. Then Kath flew down. We flew home yesterday afternoon. So Kath flew down for a mate's 50th on Saturday. And I was telling everyone, they said, how are you? Yeah, oh, good. I've just got out of a Nissan Micra and driven to Sydney. And I got a couple of stories from people. There was one bloke told me, yeah, I used to live in Brisbane. I used to drive my family down to Barrel, drop them off, okay, on the Saturday.
And that's down the other side of Sydney. That's like an hour and a half.
Or so, 2 hours. Mm. Right, down to Barrel, so 14-hour drive, and then on the Sunday drive back and then work for the week. This is school holidays. You used to do it 3 times a year because his wife lived down in Barrel. But I remember a bloke I used to be a carpenter with. He used to knock off early on a Friday arvo, about 2 in the arvo. We'd knock off, pack up, go righto. He had a girlfriend up in Mackay. He used to drive up there.
No.
Yes.
Mackay, how far is Mackay from Brisbane?
Jesus, hold on.
6 hours?
So, Rocky's 7 hours, so it's another 4 or 5. It had to be a 12 or 13-hour drive as well.
Lord.
So he used to drive Mackay, you know, for his girlfriend. And then he'd drive home on Sunday arvo, turn straight up at the work site on Monday, work all day, and he'd always go, oh, I can sleep tonight, it'll be fine.
Well, hang on a sec, though. Kath's from Rocky. Did you ever do the Brisbane-Rocky drive on a weekend?
No.
No? Okay.
No, she was down here.
Okay.
Yeah, we never went up there. I just think, and I did the same thing. I drove all the way to Sydney for love, but my mate going to Mackay, he was going to chasing some love. He was different sort of love.
Lust.
Lust. I'm all basic. The longest drive you've done for love. Robin, girl, and I thought about it. Girls never drive
very far for love. That's not true. I used to go out with a cotton farmer in Dolby.
Well, that's a fair drive.
So you drive to Dolby?
Yeah, Brisbane to Dolby.
So 4 hours each way?
And then I got a job. I tried to get closer, so I got a job in Toowoomba reading news for Wind Television and doing weather and stuff at Wind TV in Toowoomba.
Love.
Yeah. So then I could get to Dolby, you know, within an hour as opposed to about 3 and a half.
Ed, have you ever...
No. Not really. I've always tried to keep if I was dating a girl, I was always
geographically convenient.
Yeah, yep. Geographically convenient. I once had to, when I was living in Sydney, actually, I lived in the city and I used to had a girlfriend who lived in Cronulla. And so I'd have to drive down there to meet her. And then one time she said, do you want to go out for Northies for dinner? And we broke up.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm with you.
You can't be
driving too far. I used to live at Aspley. I was going out with a girl at Sandgate and it was too far.
Oh, come on,
I said, well, that's enough.
True love too is far. True love. You guys, it's a deal breaker for you. But obviously, if your heart's singing, then you're...
just about does me.
Who's driven for love? How far have you driven for love? This is all about driving. You're on the... You're on the highway thinking about your...
You've got an aim at the end of
that. See, think about Sean in Married at First Sight. He lives out on a property out west in Queensland and Susan, his chick's a city girl.
Yeah.
You know, that'd take probably an entire weekend
but
to get
there.
But
she's the one who said, I'm not going to...
I know.
Yeah, righto. That's not doing it for love. Girls don't
you
go
should,
as
but
far
I reckon
as blokes
she will.
For love, I don't reckon.
I reckon she... Anyway, I'd like to know.
How far have you driven for love?
Well, maybe someone's driven to you as well. What's so good about you that someone had to drive 12 hours?
Kate of Morayfield, have you driven long, long, long distances for love?
Yeah, I used to finish work at 5 o'clock in Brisbane and then drive out to St George out west on a Friday night to my boyfriend, then he was my fiancé. And I was like 19 at the time, in a Cortina with no bull bar.
Hold on, Kate. Just check. You were driving out into the sun on a Friday arvo. I had the sun in your eyes. You could have hit a few roos too, couldn't you?
I did it for about 12 months, and I only hit one roo.
It could write it off.
How did you go? Did love end up transferring into marriage or anything?
We did end up getting married, but 7 years later we split up.
So did you move out to St George after you got married? Oh, you did. And then just couldn't handle it.
Oh, I could handle it. It's just, things were just not what... I mean, young love.
Overlooked how boring he was.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Kate.
Dave, a
country
bit
blokes are boring.
Well, yeah, but there's the romance of getting out there. Dave, how far have you gone?
Well, I didn't do it. My partner actually did it. She drove from Ipswich to Blackwater.
Okay, where's how far? Blackwater's a million.
Way out there.
How long did that take?
So I believe it's about 14 hours at Central Queensland. And she did it with two young kids in the car when we first met.
Why was she coming to you, Dave? Why weren't you going to her?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'd just gone through a messy separation, a lot of things, and I'd actually met her on an internet dating site. So we're only very fresh in the relationship. And she decided to surprise me once because we were doing drives back in, carpooling. And she just surprised me, came out there with the kids. And, subsequently, the next swing, I didn't bother going back. I knew she was the one, and I ended up pulling up stumps and coming home to her.
So it's
a happy ever after. You guys are still together.
Oh, mate, yeah. Yeah, she changed my life. She's a beautiful woman.
Oh, that's so nice. There you go.
You've made everyone's Monday a much better place, Dave.
Good on you, Dave. That's beautiful. Great. Okay, Mark from Sunnybank. Mark, how far have you driven for love, buddy?
Hey, guys, all the way to Newcastle.
Oh, there's 10 hours out of your life.
it's worth it, and I'll still do it every holiday I can.
She must be all right. Why don't you fly? Because it used to be something we did, but now flying's so much easier.
Yeah, but I like driving, and then I like the countryside.
Look at you go. So how long have you been doing this for?
For about nearly 8 years now.
Mark. Mark, I'm into my... I reckon I've been driving for more than 30 years. I have been. And driving down that Pacific Highway, they're never going to finish that bugger, are they?
No, never. And it's always roadworks all the time. So I'll go through the New England Highway through back at Toowoomba, right through it.
Robin told me that. Sorry, she's pointing at me now, Mark.
Man, I was telling him that on Friday. I said, you have to go inland. Don't go the coastal road.
I said, they've got to be finished, the Pacific Highway, surely.
No, they'll never finish.
Oh, God. she must be very special, Mark. Why would you be doing this for 8 years and never hook up, live together?
I have lived together. I had family problems up here, and I moved away, but I still go back and forth to her all the time.
Oh, what a guy.
I love these romantics. It's lovely. And 8 years too.
That is a long time. Ian from Victoria Point. All right, Ian, you're going to bring it home, mate. How far have you driven for love?
I was based in Germany in the forces. I drove through Germany, through Holland, through Belgium, through France, all the way through England and Scotland. And she was up in a little town called Eldon, which was near the old base RAF Lossiemouth. So... yeah, drove all that way in a day.
In a day?
It is Europe, though. Yeah. I mean, you can go through three countries in 2 hours.
Yeah, but that sounds like a 15-hour drive.
Just short of, I think it was 22, 23 hours.
Oh, my God. Have you got a photo of her there somewhere?
She finished with me.
Oh, she dumped you.
Oh, yeah, no, I went all that way. I moved her down to Liverpool. She went to university in Liverpool. Which is my hometown, and a couple of weeks later, she binned me.
At least you don't have to drive that way again.
No, that was a good thing anyway, but there you go. And then I have to drive back and start work Monday morning.
That would have been a bugger of a drive home.
Unbelievable. On the ferry, I was just a man in tears.
Thanks, Ian.
Well, go on a Kentucky tour, Ian. That'll
someone else drive.
Fix you up.
Yeah, man.
Someone else drive. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. I mean, what is the public thinking? You know, you got that Ash Pollard, never done nothing. Get rid of her. You got Steve Price has got to get back to his radio show. You could have easily got rid of him.
Called Kira.
Exactly. Isn't there a runway somewhere that needs Chris Smith to wander down it? Why did Australia evict one of the only interesting people in the show? Zipporah, good morning.
Oh, hello.
We so wanted you to stay. Like, you were seriously the only interesting thing going on in that show.
Thank you. I hope that you tell everybody and people stop watching the show because of that. I hope that the ratings go way down now that I've left. I've got a little bit of schadenfreude about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I watched you have to eat some schadenfreude during the show as well. It was quite outrageous.
I didn't actually have to eat any schadenfreude. I just had to eat beans and rice. So that was fun.
What is it like, actually? Because we see the highlights on the show. What is a day over in the jungle like? Is it a lot of just sitting around?
Yeah, it is. There's, you know, you see 45 minutes, I mean, an hour to an hour and a half, depending on which day it is. So, you know, you see a trial, possibly a challenge, a bit of chit-chat, but mainly it's just if you're not out and about doing one of those things, then you're pretty much just sort of locked into the camp. And if it's raining, like it has been recently in the last 2 weeks, you can't even go to the waterfall where I took my luxury item, Dante, the pink flamingo.
I saw that episode. That was that was interesting.
Was that a good choice?
Well, I think that, you know, someone as, you know, short-footed as me and, you know, as light on their feet
athletic.
And with great aim, you can see me trying to launch onto it, like a fat person falling off a pink flamingo is very funny, I'm sure, to the viewers. So you get
it was. It was a top night. I saw the ads. That's why I watched that night.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad that that gave you an excuse to watch. Because I never would have watched it, for goodness sake. Now that I'm not on, anyway, when I was on, it was terrific in the three shows that have been on. And I feel very, very privileged that I was a part of that because it's an experience that you can't pay for. I mean, who else gets to have worms dunked in their swimsuit? Because it's a one piece, it goes down the front of your bra, and then when you stand up, they're wiggling around in your pants.
Dear.
It's like, well, that's the best you can get.
Six years, do you reckon this will lead to a few more love-making opportunities?
After having the worms in the pants? I think
just being on telly.
Blokes off for some weird reason.
No.
I don't know about that, but, you know. But, look, we need to wrap this up because worms in my pants is probably such a such a high note.
No. All right, Zipporah.
We'll drive a combantron ad in a second. It'll all be fine.
I'm a celebrity.
Listen,
good luck.
Ed, you know what? Talking about, like, skills, Ed, I just want to know, you must have some mad ones because you were married to a very hot chick. And I don't even know how that happened because look at you, really, seriously. Like, you've got some mad skills there, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Maybe you and I need to talk so, you know, I can find out.
I would love that, Zipporah. I would love that.
Merrin.
Yeah.
You and I we could sit down and we can talk about punching above our weight. I could have you married to Bradley Cooper by the end of the month. Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, fellas. Love you very much. Big kiss. Goodbye.
Bye, Zipporah. I love it when people wrap up their own interviews. What a champ. Love it.
Best. Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
It's going off. It was massive last week. It was fish and chip shops and the winner was fish lips at Fernie Hills. That was great. But it's done, Marto. It's finished. Fish and chips is done. We're looking for a new Best of Brisbane.
Well,
this
we turned around and Robin, I think you came up with this one. It's sporting clubs.
Well, that's how I know the suburbs of Brisbane because I spend my entire life in the car on the weekend going, you know, if I say Rochdale, I'll say the Rochdale Rovers.
That's brilliant.
If I say Albany Creek, I'll say the Ace team.
Three kids playing soccer, so you know every... Well, tell me, what's... it's because there's... If we're talking sporting clubs, which we are, 1-3-3-5-3, what's the best? What do you judge it on? What's the most important thing when you enter a new soccer club that your kids have never played at before?
Okay, so this is probably going to be slightly inappropriate.
Well, no, go right ahead.
But when you go to the Lions at sort of Darra there, you can actually sit upstairs in the club part and have a beer or wine on a Sunday afternoon because it overlooks the first pitch.
Clever.
So you can, I can be engaged in my son's playing, but I'm not outside sweating it. And I actually
You've eaten a Grange Thistle?
Yeah. Grange Thistle.
That my kids used to play.
See that? So, you know, that's my criteria for a great sporting club.
Yours
obviously
is,
the pitch.
What do you call that, though? Is that, what
Lions
aspect
club.
Is that? No, but what aspect of life? Like I'm saying, Isn't it important to you to cut the car park? Is it important to you what the chips are like at the
car park's very important. The
what
ones
about
without
pies?
Oh, no, see, I don't.
The grass.
Yeah, that whether it's rocky as the actual pitch is, you know, whether there's got lots of, like, if it's soft and the grass is being well taken care of, some of the, you know, further out ones can be quite, and kids get really hurt.
Ed, what's most important for you in terms of a sports club? Is it?
I like different themed nights at the bistro. So at my at the Pine Rivers Bowls Club, we have Hawaiian night.
God.
And then we have Mexican night.
Yes,
and then
right.
we just have canning on night. So for me, variety and also just a really interesting special at the bistro. So if it's surf and turf night, I like to have the steak part of it on like a hot rock. You know what I mean? Just keeps it interesting.
It's $10. What do you consider a meal of 12, under 12 or under 10?
I think under 12 these days. Yeah. 15 with it. If you get change from 15, I think you've done pretty well for a full meal. Jeez, if you get to sit down and
I'd hate to talk soccer anymore, but Brisbane City Soccer Club, all right,
yeah.
down there opposite Ballymore.
Oh, yes.
Friday nights, they do some of the greatest ribs in Brisbane. Just based on that, I thought about making our kids play soccer.
Okay, so we've got here comes Lyndall. Lyndall is from The Gap. Very, very quickly, Lyndall, who would you like, if you would say, what is the best sporting club in Brisbane and why?
Everton Park Rugby Union.
Why?
Club. Why? Because it's like being part of the family. Being a smaller club, we have to compete with one of the biggest clubs in Brisbane that's just up the road. We're in Jeeps, so we have to offer everyone a little bit more. And
Lyndall,
you feel like you're part of the family, yep.
Lyndall, normally everyone gets nominated. I'm going to have trouble putting the Roosters in, the Everton Park Roosters. I'm under a ban.
Right.
I think I got a lifetime ban there. Go back and discuss that with your club and the bloke who banned me there for warming my team up in the in-goal area because you didn't have any room.
Well,
I know, this is going to turn ugly, isn't it?
Juicy
the first person that rings I'm banned from about 6 years ago.
Oh, well, then it must be a great club.
Yeah.
All right, you're in, Lyndall. This is going to get... You are in.
Well done.
Everton Park Rugby Union Club.
Yeah, all right. The Roosters are the first nominated.
Good stuff. That means there's 9 left, Ed Cavalli.
What's your favourite sporting club? It's true. It's Best of Brisbane. We're doing sporting clubs this week. Robin, your suggestion. And Corey Parker was in earlier. And, of course, we asked him, what is your favourite sporting club?
Oh, that's an easy one. Mate, there was only one club I played for when I was younger other than the Broncos, and that was Logan Brothers. So produced a quality array of players.
Name them. Cam Smith played there, didn't he?
Cam Smith, Israel Folau.
Oh, dear.
Just to name a couple.
Hey, just a couple. What were the burgers like?
Well, it wasn't so much the burgers, it was the hot chips. After training on Thursday night in the winter, you'd have the hot chips doused in sauce.
Oh, yeah.
So was it the coaching? Was it the people that were there?
Oh, it was just a community feel. It was a very small club when we first started. And
Was it?
Yeah, in terms of the club itself, but always had quite a number of players. So and it's just continued to produce quality players.
So that's in? That's in based on its chips.
Logan Brothers, yes.
I was expecting more grandstands or medical facilities or
coaches.
Yeah.
Surely if they've produced all these
Pokies room, nicest carpet, like East Rugby League Club. You've seen them, they've got a tiger in their carpet.
What's
not to like about that?
Debbie of Fitzgibbon, give us your great favourite sporting club.
Albany Creek Excels, the other one that you mentioned, Robin.
Ace.
Yes, Ace. My little boy plays there and he loves it. The coaching staff are fantastic. Their junior development is phenomenal.
All right.
The grounds are amazing. And
the grounds are amazing, are they?
They are. They are really good. They put a lot of pride and effort into maintaining their grounds.
The grounds are the Pine River Sporting Complex, which is where the women's AFL.
They're all the things.
Yeah, the hockey was there.
What are the scoreboards like?
I don't think I've ever paid attention to the scoreboards.
Well, please do.
Because my son's under 7.
So. Oh, they don't worry about scoreboards.
No.
Have you got Neil Young in the car with you?
Yeah. Bit of harmonica going in the background there, Debbie.
No. Just walking into work and there's a busker outside.
Oh, okay. All right. You sounded good.
Yeah. Throw him some money from us.
Thanks, Debbie.
Did anyone else hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Emma.
I thought I was going mad.
Emma.
I thought I was like a dog, but only I could hear it.
Emma of Stafford Heights, give us your favourite sporting club.
It is Stafford Roller Sports Club. So it's 3 of my kids do roller hockey, which is a really fast moving, it's like field hockey on steroids. Yeah. So they're on quad skates, really, really fast, 5 a side. We've got people playing from 5 years old until, 60 or something like that. As 3 of mine play,
two have represented Australia twice.
Oh.
Best coaches, best community, best sports, best everything. Sports small in Australia, but really big internationally. So we hope to grow, and then we hopefully get in the Olympics as well.
You're at Stafford. You're at Stafford roller skating club there, aren't you? Near the Stafford State School.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
What are the chips like?
Stafford Skate Centre.
What are the chips like?
They're not bad, actually. They do good chips in there.
Well, what's the difference between roller hockey and roller derby?
Use a stick and a ball.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, no, no. See, there you go.
You could really win roller derby if you had them. I don't. Do we put Emma in?
Of course.
But how many people are going to vote for? Yeah, that's not a very. All right, she's in.
It's okay.
Okay.
Tom from Chermside. Tom, best sporting club in Brisbane. Which is it and why?
Valleys Diehards Rugby League at the Grange. Just a great club. Been around for over 100 years. Juniors and seniors. Wally Lewis played there. A whole bunch of other famous players.
Are they still running a senior club there, Tom?
They're back in the Brisbane Rugby League now, and they also are in the second division, the Opens and stuff, yeah.
I like it. It's got a nice... I know the clubhouse there has got a nice sort of country style to it. What's the best part about the club? Is it the... I actually have a kick on your field occasionally. It's dog poo free. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, the field's probably one of the highlights. Definitely
it's lovely.
They look after it. They do a good job. The clubhouse is set, and the potato scallops is probably a winner.
Oh, the scallops.
There you go. Interesting. The scoreboard. I've never watched a game live there at Valleys. The scoreboard all right?
Yeah, it's down the end, down in the corner. It's been there for the last 5-6 years now, yeah.
Is it electronic now?
It is now, yeah. They got rid of the old one, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame, because all the junior kids like to get up in the scoreboard and they fight over the chance to change it.
It's all right in soccer. They only have to add in once.
Yeah,
in AFL, you get some of those young kids operating your scoreboard and go, oh, what's 13 plus 6? Ooh.
Okay. I don't know. Plenty of other nominations coming through. Keep them coming. We're going to announce the nominees very shortly, and then you'll be able to vote because someone is going to win Triple M's Best of Brisbane, Best Sporting Club.
We've already taken a heap. We're going to take more than 10 in our nominations this week. Is that all right with everyone?
Because
there's so many. I think Margaret's rung up. Can't put everyone to air, but Sunnybank Rugby League Club will be on there. Brothers Rugby Union Club will be on there. Eastern Suburbs Soccer Football Club. Is that a Bulimba, that one?
Yes, it's one of the oldest ones.
Oh, we've got heaps of them. We had Everton Park Roosters Rugby Club. There's, I think we're going Narang. Was it Narangba?
Yep.
Football club as well.
Okay. Joe of Logan, what's your favourite sporting club?
Logan Rec Club, mate.
Ooh, what's the Rec Club do?
Yeah.
It's a bowls club. You got cheap drinks, cheap schooners, bloody cold too, good feed. And Friday nights, you get Rosalie on the dance table, so it's pretty good to watch.
Yes. Beer at 70s prices at Rosalie. Righto, you're in, John.
You're in, Johnny.
Hey, also Steve-O's got the hots for you, Robin, so keep your eye out.
Okay.
Right. Well,
he's at the Red Club, is he?
That's Rosalie's brother, apparently.
He'll be a goer. Thank you, Johnny. All right, we've got our nominations. They'll jump up triplem.com.au. Please vote. Please vote for Logan Red Club. That sounds like a real party to me.
The new Triple M.
I know you need to get to the Oscars and stuff, Robin, but I know you're reluctant, but we're about to talk cricket.
That's okay.
What? A victory. Do I quote Steve Smith and go, it's 4,250 days since we last won in India and there were performances? His century was one of his... Oh. He is the world's number one batsman. Would I be correct in claiming that?
You would be correct at the moment he is because Kohli got himself... He shouldered arms to one that was going straight from Stephen O'Keefe, which was a beautiful moment.
Stephen O'Keefe, 12 for 70 in 6 for 35 first innings, Robin.
What happened?
6 for 35 second innings.
Didn't the captain get out for a duck?
That's Virat Kohli.
Yeah, Virat Kohli.
Just talking about that bit.
Shouldered arms. Well, I'm trying to keep up.
I'm learning on the go. It's fine.
I
like talking cricket with you because you have to think about things, whereas Ed and I just otherwise will speak in approximations and estimates and assumptions that we know, what about that? What about when it now?
I know absolutely nothing other than the season seems to go for a really long time and there are lots of variants.
I'll tell you something that you get overlooked, Robin.
What?
was Mitch Starks, the importance of Mitchell Starks 60 on the
Saturday.
Yeah, how important that was to get us over 200, which then let us put a lot of pressure on the Indians.
Yeah, that's true. Look, that's all good fun, but the big story is Steve Smith's century, which is so hard to do, but Stephen O'Keefe's incredible figures were what was being talked about because he was seen by Shane Warne as the
weakest. That was horrendous.
He said on commentary that he was the weakest of the Australian bowlers. And I guess if in a bowling group, someone has to be the weakest, and he was a safe selection. You sometimes get the feeling with Warne that he's got his own personal gripes. And
All right. Remember he was pushing that Mitch Swepson, who is a Queenslander, and he made the tour because often what Warne says, Rob, is it ends up happening because he puts so much pressure on people.
Yeah, so he says it in commentary, and then lo and behold, the selectors and the other people start to fall into line. But you know what? I don't really have a problem with that. He's Shane Warne. Like,
he's no good now because now Stephen O'Keefe has now beaten his figures. He's beaten Warne's figures of all time. 12 for 70 is better than anything Warne ever did.
I think you might have got to it. Deep, deep down, don't think he wants the spinners in India to do very well because the one place where Shane wasn't as good as he was everywhere else in the world was...
Thank you very much, India.
India.
But he blamed his diet on that, didn't he? Because he couldn't have his Vegemite toast.
Well, you're good. He used to take his own baked beans over there.
Yeah, because...
And avoided. Whereas now they embrace the food, which Matt Renshaw too much so. But that's part of the joys. I reckon that's the joys of India.
Okay, but aren't you kind of, you know, and I am a complete Neanderthal when it comes to cricket, but aren't you missing the point that Warne only 2 weeks ago announced that he was doing some speaking comedy show? So unless he starts to make outlandish comments that people say are then controversial.
Oh, mate, he's been making outlandish comments.
Well, exactly right, but he hasn't made one in the last few months. So now he's dissing on someone and then gets proven wrong and then he'll get up on stage and say, but this is why, and people might vaguely be interested.
It's not bad.
It's not a bad idea.
The problem with Warne is he's not – maybe he is clever, maybe he proves me wrong, but I listen to him as a commentator and I go – you only got about 15 words that you use. Well, tell me how this goes. This is Warne after the victory, okay?
Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable scenes here in Pune. You just can't believe it.
What, is it unbelievable?
Case closed.
Do you reckon?
Come on. Hey, Robin, have you been to the Sandstone Point Hotel
yet? I have. It's amazing. It's amazing. The bridge going over to Bribie. Fantastic place.
Ed and I have been saying forever, we've got to get out there.
I know, you really do.
Does the grass go all the way? If anyone doesn't know, it's an enormous hotel, but then there's an outside shell where a stage, and then the grass goes all the way down to the water.
It's fantastic. It's really good. They had a big gig there yesterday.
I know. Remember we heard the ads last week? Go on, I'll go through them. John Farnham
was the headliner.
Daryl Braithwaite. Come on, someone keep throwing
them in. Taxi Ride.
Come on. And
the one and only.
And Mr. Strip Club himself.
Shannon Noll.
Righto. What a day it looked like. I saw a little bit of it. Well, I saw a little bit of it on Channel 9 because before they went to the story, you know how before they go to the ads, they give you a little tease?
Police pounced during Shannon Noll's Queensland concert. Why was the singer hauled off stage?
Oh, no. What? Outstanding honeybees bill from the night before. I can't get these ads over and done with.
It wasn't, though. It wasn't that.
The cops. No, they came back and they showed it. And they showed him his shirt off, Shannon Noll.
Yeah.
Good rig on him.
Yeah, he likes that. He's always been secretly vain, Shannon Noll.
Righto. Well, the cops came on stage, female cop and a bloke cop, arms behind the back, waltzed him off. And I went, what is this? This is after the ads. And I started watching it going, what a day. I hope Johnny Farnham's not involved in any of this.
Yeah, you're right.
Braithwaite.
A SWAT team drag off
what's
taxi
happening
ride.
In the green room.
A whole team of veteran Australian singers in the clique. It was only Shannon Noll. It was all just a joke, talking about what happened, just having a laugh.
And then
at the back of the stage, high fives to the two cops.
Yeah, that's funny.
It was funny, and he did a little selfie video afterwards.
Not much I can say about that one. I think this one was just a joke, though.
Yeah, it's a joke. I know, you had to speak Bogan to understand.
Not much I can say about that one. Yeah, it was all just a bit of a joke.
Those police are going to get in trouble for doing that.
But if they get in trouble, Robin, then we've failed as a society.
Thank you. That's the end of Australia.
But don't you think they will? They will.
They better not.
That's what Kath and I were worried about. We looked and went, oh, no, those cops have done. That's funny. Good on you, Shannon Noel. Last time we saw him, he was being arrested. This time, funny.
But that's see, funny. And doesn't that do more for community policing
that's
and
right.
saying that
does.
Police force have a
cops
sense of humour?
Cops are tops after you see that.
There
cops
you go.
Are cool again.
Yeah,
thank
I bet
God.
You
I want to get picked up by those two cops. They're fun.
I'll put money on the fact.
I don't know about that. I'm drinking
heavily and driving.
It's kind of a big day in my world because I love the Oscars and it is Oscar Day and they start to come through at about 11 o'clock this morning. I'll be going and watching them and watching the red carpet. And
you go to a party or anything?
Yeah. Go and watch it at Event Cinemas at Garden City. They beam it in live so we can sit on the big chairs and
it's Super
some
Bowl
nice
for
food.
Chicks.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Make sure you're there early to see the red carpet stuff and it's going to be a really, really good afternoon for me. But you've got to spare a thought for the poor guys who do In Memoriam today at the Oscars because across the weekend, two fairly big names in entertainment have passed away. Mm. Now, I have been trying to convince Marto all day that Bill Paxton, who died at the age of 61 after suffering a massive stroke during open heart surgery, is a big deal. But you just can't seem to remember him.
I don't know. I do. I thought he was the father of those kids on A Current Affair who didn't want a job years ago. Weren't they the Paxtons?
Yeah, they were the Paxtons.
I thought it was the father.
Okay, well, let me just quickly run you through his, cinematology. He was in Apollo 13.
Houston, we have a main bus A undervolt down two. It's reading 25 and a half. Main bus B is reading zip right now.
Okay. Right. His voice is fairly recognizable. Right. Again, he was in Twister.
Hello, Julia, we have cows. Another cow.
Actually, I think that was the same one.
What, that's him?
Yeah, that's him.
Driver.
I think that was the same one.
I don't care who that voice is. There was a cow flying around in a tornado. That's what I was concentrating on.
I know, but that was kind of the big moment of Twister. A lot of people talk about the cows. He was on, Ed, you know this, he was on the TV show Big Love, which was the polygamy television show about the Mormons.
I am trying to make it better for all of us. The life we've chosen leads to eternity. But yes, there are consequences.
I didn't watch that
Still
one.
Still not working?
No.
Okay, how about aliens?
Well, that's great, man. Where's the real pretty shit now, man? Game over, man. Game over.
I'm sure he's famous. Don't have to worry about me. I don't watch enough movies.
He was one of those guys where if you needed a quality actor who was better than the role that he was given, he's like a Woody Harrelson, one of those sort of guys. You give it to a Sam Rockwell, you give it to Bill Paxton. Always delivered, always unique, just a really good pro,
but not a person who you'd hang the movie on.
No, well, and I'm going to save you from the Titanic grab because I know you haven't seen it. He was the guy that went looking for the heart of the ocean and he starts and finishes the film. Do you want me to?
I would have been there at the start of Titanic, but I certainly wasn't there at the end.
Surely you remember this bit.
Are you ready to go back to Titanic?
Were you?
That doesn't ring a bell.
No.
Okay,
sorry,
so
but that's good. Oh, poor old Bill and his
family.
It's terrible.
If I can't interest you in Bill Paxton, can I interest you in Mag the Mighty from Game of Thrones?
The tallest bloke in Britain.
I knew he'd know that one.
Oh, yeah, bloody. He was about 7'7", isn't he? Yeah,
yes.
That's a proper actor.
Okay. I can't bring you any audio because he didn't actually say anything. He just ran around looking like
grunting.
Grunting and carrying on.
Huge.
Anyway, sadly, he also died across the weekend.
Oh, now this is serious. He wouldn't have been all that old.
He was 36.
Crikey.
Really sad, but I think it's one of those situations where
tall people die. Yeah, tall people die early. They always say that. How tall are you, Ed? Oh, 6'5".
7'12".
Sorry, mate.
You'll be out of here by lunch tomorrow.
You've got another year or so. That's it.
Fox Sports, Marto, launching the new All NRL channel, which is good news. And we've got Corey Parker coming in to talk about the Queensland
component of that. Mate, that's all they're talking about at Fox Sports is the launch of this channel today. All rugby league, all 24 hours.
And a good idea. And it's a good idea. But
about time.
There are some issues in and around the game. You and I were reading on Friday, Robin, over the weekend as well, about how the NRL clubs combined last year lost something like, well, he's actually someone who will know more about this, Josh Masood, Channel 7's chief rugby league reporter. Josh, how much did the clubs manage to lose last year?
Oh, if you extrapolate it, guys, I think they lost $29 million over the last 4 years. So basically back in year two, my maths would say about $7.5 million over the whole lot of the 16 of them. So that's about $500,000 each.
My point on that would be they're paying someone too much.
Well done.
They're paying everyone too much except me in the game. That's what I'd say. But basically, the way it works, guys, is that you're in a competitive industry, you're in a jungle, and pretty much there's no cap on how much they can spend off the field. So there is a cap on how much they can spend on the players. But when it comes to coaches, technology, whatnot, they're in an absolute arms race and they just go crazy, spend beyond their means because it is a competitive environment.
Well, who's spending? I know the Broncos are making a profit. I think the Bunnies are making a profit. Who's not?
Well, the Bunnies actually dropped about $1.5 million last year.
Geez.
They'd been quite profitable up until then. So poor old Rusty has to dip into his hip pocket once again.
Right. Did you see the other day, Crown announced on Friday in the business pages, I read this, they are no longer sponsoring the Bunnies. They're pulling out. They've had enough of it.
Yeah, and the Storm as well. And guys, look, just on a bit of a sidetrack, I think that's a good thing. I think the less association the game has with gambling, the better, given what has happened in the past couple of weeks with the player being outed for betting on the opposition.
I think that horse may have bolted.
Let me guess. The clubs that are in cities like the Broncos, the Cowboys, all the ones
Canberra,
they're doing okay. It's the ones that are competing in Sydney, like, I don't know, the Panthers, the Roosters, the Rabbitohs. Are they the ones that are actually struggling?
Yeah, as a general rule, Newcastle buck that rule. They're owned by the NRL. They're in such deep financial strength. The Gold Coast Titans, they've always been a financial basket case. They've got that area to themselves as well. But yeah, generally, Sydney is such a dog-eat-dog market, you know, in football as well as just general life. There's about 25 or 26 sporting franchises in this city all competing for the same corporate dollar. So it's really, really tough for those clubs. Plus, the ones that just don't have a sugar daddy, like the Roosters have Nick Politis, one of the richest men in Australia. They operate basically on an area the size of a postage stamp. They have no juniors whatsoever, but if you've got a rich sugar daddy, you're fine.
Did I see they're the favourites for the season, the Roosters?
A lot of the clubs are tipping them. They're not quite the favourites with the bookies. They're about $4 or $5. But, yeah, when it comes to player spending and ability to splash the cash, no one rivals them. They should be up there every year.
Talking to Josh Massu, Channel 7's Chief Rugby League Reporter, just want to jump to a slightly different topic if we could, Josh. We've seen that James O'Connor may have got himself in some trouble over in France, which means that Toulon need a new fullback. Lucky for them, they've got themselves Ben Barber, who's wandered over there after, you know, leaving
Has
the
Sharks. Has he had anything to do with cocaine, Ben Barber? Josh?
Yeah, I don't know. I might have lost my memory over the weekend. I'm not quite sure if I can remember either. Yeah, it seems like the Toulon hiring policy is working very well there, and Ben Barber just steps straight in. It would be surprising, guys, honestly, if he did. He's never played rugby in his life. The plan was for him to basically go over there, get some quick cash, and make his next mortgage repayment because he couldn't do it at Cronulla. He hadn't received a paycheck for 3-4 months. I don't know if playing football was actually in the job description until June. So he might be doing that, which should make for pretty entertaining watching.
Hey, can I check something just to follow up on that? Now, he will be found out very quickly because he's never played the game of rugby. Their boss is notorious. He'll belt him. He'll let him go. If he finds out within 3 weeks that he's unable to actually play football, he will get rid of him and he'll be back in Australia. What happens then?
What happens then would be that he'd find an NRL club pretty easily, guys.
Okay.
And I'm always a bit cynical, as you know. He's got actually a get-out clause. Like, there's an option for both the club and him after June to just review it and see how it went. And I always thought, geez, Ben Barber, I don't know how much his command of French, how well that'll go. Four young girls over there. It just doesn't stack up to me that he's going to be there for 2.5 years at all. There'd be NRL clubs falling over themselves to get to him, particularly in the middle of the season when you've got injuries. Clubs not going so well, they'll get desperate and sign someone like Ben Barber.
Josh Massu, Channel 7's Chief Rugby League Reporter, a comprehensive wrap-up of the game as it stands. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks, mate.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Ed Cavalier, how long is it now until baby Cavalier joins the world?
So towards the end of the year, but there's already been... I had a friend of mine who is a professional cameraman who does, like, he's got his own little production company, Robin. He told me a amazing request that he received the other day. He said that he got asked if he could please professionally film, like, i.e. set up, you know, lights, set up proper cameras, to film a birth.
Why? Was there complications? Was there a reason? Why was there overseas? Was the father overseas on deployment and wanted to be a part of the process? Wasn't going live streaming anywhere?
No, it was just record and then, you know, to watch back, I assume at the kid's 21st, but it was just to watch back.
Whoa.
And that was it. And I sort of said, oh, which bit? And he goes, everything, whole bit, from start to finish. Please record our birth and put everything.
End?
All ends. Exit and then
drone.
But two cameras. Like
the
it was
GoPro.
Two camera shoot.
Yeah.
That's quite unusual. I mean, I know a lot of people who do, you know, that they get the iPhone out and particularly if there's some extra support people. No, I didn't. I don't. Yeah.
Did you?
No, I didn't. And you know, I have photos, particularly of one of my son's water births because it was quite miraculous and he was born into the water and you could see him floating around and then he got lifted out and that's kind of beautiful.
So that was those are photos. You've got photos.
Yeah, those photos.
Did you ever show that to your child?
Oh, God, no. Oh, he'd be traumatised for life.
Sorry, I'm just checking.
I mean, I think those moments straight after the birth when the baby's, you know, still covered in meconium and is that what it's called? They're cutting the cord and that sort of stuff is, I mean, there's a wonderful miraculousness of life. But
have you ever looked back on these photos, Robin? Have you ever, like, you know, gone and had a look through?
I don't even know where they are. He did ask once and then I just sat him down. I said, buddy, you sure?
He asked whether he could see the photos.
Well, because a lot of people had talked about this amazing, wonderful water birth and I think he was more curious, but he hadn't connected the fact that him being born actually meant that he came out of my body.
Yeah, that's right.
Should I dob in at this stage? You were saying the other day to me that your wife, Tiff, wonderful, beautiful woman,
she's crazy, though,
is making you watch photos of births.
Yeah, she sits me down. I was watching the test match over the weekend and I was really getting
stuck in.
I was having a great time screaming at the TV and accusing the other team of cheating. And it was my normal stuff. And then she plonks down next to me and she says, now you sit down, you have a look at this. And she had gone to the internet and she was flipping through photographs of the exact moment of children exiting birth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I go, no. And she's like, you must look. And she kept making me look.
Why do you need to look?
I don't know, mate.
Well, she clearly wanted to stop you watching the cricket. Yeah. That's what I would suggest. And there's one thing that would make you not actually say, no, I'm not interested, and that's talking about anything to do with the pregnancy and birth. She got you, buddy.
That's not educating.
Sucked in, Ed. You fell for that one.
Oh, I didn't fall for it. It was a thrust upon me.
Yeah.
So the question is as follows. Did you film your birth? Have you watched a birth video?
Did you Skype your birth? With your husband. Your husband might be a FIFO.
But that is a legitimate thing. If a guy can't be there for whatever reason, they can set up live streaming to be a part of it. And I understand that. You want those moments. Yeah, come on. If you were overseas, if you're on deployment and you had the opportunity to be in the room while your baby is being born, don't tell me you wouldn't do that.
Like if you're playing Origin, some blokes go, nah, my baby's due, I'm going to have to pull out. Well, no longer. I've got to play the game and just go to the sideline. Oh, yeah. Oh, is that all right? Oh, good. All good. I'm back on.
Did you film your birth? Or did you photograph your birth? What did you record the birth? And if so, why?
Who else wants to see it? Who do you show it to?
Under what circumstances are you filming?
I want to see this.
I am just trying to sit in defence of any woman because we actually don't see. If we're like you don't actually see the moment that your child's born. You feel it.
You want to?
Okay, well, I didn't know that either.
Maybe.
Okay, Scott from Morayfield. Scott, did you film the birth of your child?
Yeah, my partner wanted to see what goes on, obviously, when she gives birth.
Okay.
So I filmed our youngest boy, Ike, being born, and my 13-year-old daughter, eldest daughter, when she was 13, was asking questions about, you know, kids and stuff like that, and I said, I'll fix you. I said, here, watch this. So I got the camera out and let
13.
Her watch it. And she's 17 and she still doesn't want to have kids.
That's good.
That's great, Scott. Hang on. So you're saying, Scott, actually, now I forgot. I completely forgot about this, Scott. Mm. This happened to us when I was in year 7.
What?
Our PE teacher came in one day, locked the door, put on a VHS of a child being born and said, right, anyone want to think about getting pregnant? Because a girl in our year 12 at that stage had just found out she was pregnant.
Oh.
I had forgotten about that, Scott. Well done. Good. They're good.
Contraceptive.
There you go, okay. Jess of Rockwell. Have you filmed the birth? Oh, hello, Jess.
Hi, sorry.
Jess. you got a film of
you. How are you going?
Good.
Yeah. Great. Good to have you on board with that slight delay.
Sorry. We filmed the birth of both of our children. We had a cesarean birth with both.
Ooh, wow. Jess, I saw some photos of that. It looked nasty.
Oh, we have photos right from when they cut my stomach open and pulled the baby out.
Oh,
Jess.
Was the hubby filming?
Yes, and we had a midwife taking photos as well.
And what did you do with the photographs, Jess?
We have a photo book of all the photos, and every time someone comes over, my husband shows them to everybody.
Wow. And why does he do that?
I guess not many people are coming over anymore.
Get a lot of butchers coming over?
Oh, some of the looks he gets when it's like friends and stuff, and they're like, we didn't need to see that.
But why does he show them?
Because he's proud, I guess.
Wow. He's great, Jess. Good Lord.
I don't see the inappropriateness of it either.
He's happy with his photographic work.
Only photos, Jess, not videos.
Yeah, I think it's only photos for Jess. Right. He draws a line.
Simo.
G'day, how are we?
What about you? Have you taken the photos?
I got two children. I was there for both their births, and there's no way in the world you'd video. You don't want to be reminded of what happens in there. It's not nice.
Yeah, there's some things you can't unsee, isn't there?
There's some things you can't unsee, mate, and there's some things that are better off, let's just say, in a water closet, not in the birthing suite. Mm.
Oh, okay. So you're saying it's a beautiful, life-changing moment for everyone, but there's no need to go and relive it with the footage, Simo. There's no need for an action replay.
There's no need to relive it. Like, I got a 9-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter, and it's still like it happened yesterday. I can close my eyes and see it, and I don't want to.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are other bodily functions that go on, absolutely. Yeah.
Some bodily functions that go on, and they happen during childbirth. Yes, and you don't want to remember that. You don't want to see it when it's not in childbirth.
Hey, Simo, I'm figuring you were like me. You're up the head end, up with your wife, comforting her.
I was actually asleep on the couch, Marto. My second child went on for 24 hours, and I fell asleep on the couch. I woke up. The nurses had put a hot blanket on me and hot towels under my head.
Oh, are you all right?
I was all right. Thanks, mate. No one asked me if I was all right.
Yeah, no.
I was about the mum.
Bloody nurses.
How long did it take for her to talk to you again?
She still yells at me.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Was there no footy on the screen? Did no one even think about putting the TV on footy?
And every time I looked at my phone, they took it off me because they thought I was looking at YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah. See if you were checking the weather and the wind, weren't you? See if you could go crabbing.
He's a real trooper, Simo. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
No words.
Part of the all-new Triple M is the Pillars of the Day, now local. So there's us in the morning, and then for your local drive home starts today. At 3 p.m., that is 3 p.m. on Triple M, you can enjoy the Luke Bradham Show with Libby Trickett and Dobbo. And Luke Bradham from that very show joins us now. Good morning.
Hello, Ed. How are you? And I'll tell you what, Ed, we're off to a very good start too because Warnie's just come out and declared that we're the weakest show on Brisbane radio.
Excellent.
I'm expecting to take a 6 for this afternoon.
You're going to have a pearl of that, mate.
Yes. That means every other show, all the other FM shows are all from down south.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I never thought of that.
It's quite incredible, isn't it, when you think about it? And it was part about how all this came about because Triple M sort of said, you know, there's every show coming in south of the border. Yeah. And then they've come out to me and they've said, hey, we kind of want to make you guys the Donald Trump of Brisbane radio, building a wall and keeping all the southerners out. And I'm like, thanks so much, guys. That's awesome. But, yeah, every show comes in from either Melbourne or Sydney. And it means that, you know, all of these shows that are on Brisbane radio in the afternoon at the moment, they can't talk about things that are relevant towards southeast Queensland.
And it's also Libby Trickett, former Olympian. It's her first gig in radio. That's cool.
And she wears her 4 Olympic gold medals around her neck all the time, too. So
sit still while the microphone's live. They're tinkling, Libby.
I have to
bring jewellery like this, but Libby's got her own gold medals.
She actually earned hers, didn't pay for them.
Nah, she's awesome. We got just a really great team. Like, Libby, everyone knows Libby, and she's just fantastic. And then Dobbo. Dobbo's just like... I met Dobbo, probably 6 or 7 weeks ago or so, and as soon as I met him, I went, holy geez, this bloke is the most authentic bloke I've ever met in my life. He talks like a cowboy. He dresses like a cowboy. He turned to me the other day. He goes, hey, Luke, how many cows do you reckon I've had my hand up the backside of?
Beautiful.
And I said...
What's the answer?
I said...
ABC?
I said... I I'm hoping none, Dobbo. And he goes, nah, mate, it's about 150,000.
Oh, good.
Yeah. 150,000?
Well, Dobbo's not a vet. I think that's just a fetish.
I said to him, Marto, I said, Dobbo, I'm sure there's a story there and we'll get to the bottom of it, but don't tell me it off air, whatever you do.
Oh, mate, I would have said, don't bend over in the studio. Dobbo will be up there. Quick, smart.
He'll do fine in radio then, won't he?
I got to say, guys, and you'll be able to relate to this, Robin, because I know you copped it a little bit from on Facebook when you first joined the team. And they put an announcement up on Triple M Facebook that our team is starting this afternoon. And and a few people have sort of been bagging out Dobbo and myself on Triple M's Facebook feed.
What?
But I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, you haven't even heard the show yet.
No.
Like, if you think we suck
tomorrow,
now, wait till this afternoon.
Today, it is 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock this
3
afternoon.
3 o'clock?
Yes, it gets going. Your local drive
home. Well, those other mobs don't start till 4.
We're getting their head start. We're getting in there nice and early and getting on the radar as quick as we can. And here's what I'd say to you, Brisbane, is if you tune in this afternoon, give us a go. We'd love to, we'd love to be your new drive home. And if you like us, then, you know, by all means, tell all your friends about us. And if you don't like us, then can you just keep your big trap shut?
Otherwise, Dobbo and his hand are coming over.
Hey, good on you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, mate. Like,
now, Marto and Robin, normally these days when you find out that there's a new television channel coming, you go, oh, God, the Kardashians have got a new home. It's called Seven Flicks and you can't find it. But instead, I bring you good news because on Fox Sports, they've got themselves a brand new channel. It is the NRL channel, and they've done the right thing and put one of the stalwarts of the Broncos and Queensland Rugby League front and centre. He is the face of the NRL channel. Corey Parker, good morning.
I wouldn't say that, but thanks. Good morning.
What are you talking about? I've seen you all over the promos. It's the Corey Parker HQ. That's what I'm calling it.
That sounds like a good one itself.
Hold on. So starting today.
Starting today. 24/7 Fox League.
Oh, my God, this is what the world needed. More rugby league, exactly. Hold on, so what are you going to be doing? You used to do the Sterlo Show.
Yeah, still involved with the Sterlo Show, and there's six new magazine shows. So one of those shows is called Queenslanders Only, for Queenslanders, about Queensland. So,
oh, my God.
That's going to be a good one to roll out.
Too.
That could disappear up its own backside some Wednesdays, couldn't it?
Like Mel Meninga, Kevy Walters, Gordon Tallis, you, Corey, Justin Hodges, Billy Moore, and also Robert Crush Craddock.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty full on.
That could be seven nights a week eventually.
Yeah, so, well, it will be. Look, it's an enormous day for rugby league and Fox Sports to have a 24/7 channel, as we just sort of spoke about earlier. If there was a game of rugby league on every day, you'd be watching it. So now next best thing, which is Fox League.
Is it because of the players don't want to play on a Wednesday night? They've got Thursday night every week. It's not just an experiment anymore, is it?
No, that's right.
No more Monday night football, which is ridiculous.
No, there's no more Monday night, but obviously you've got the Thursday. There's now an extra game on the Friday, three on Saturday, two on Sunday, all of which can be seen live in HD on Fox Sports.
He's good.
You're not even reading.
The other one that I'm quite interested in is the League Life, because for the first time ever, it's an all-women's sports.
It is. Yeah,
what's that about?
What? Well, it's about football, obviously, but it's I suppose an innovative idea, as you said, an all women's panel talking rugby league, all things rugby league.
Here it is. Here, the 30-minute program will deliver topical discussion and debate about the key issues and talking points, along with
what? What do you mean? Why are you crinkling up your face like that? I think it'll be a completely different perspective. Well, it's a whole lot of women who really love rugby league, but talking about it.
Talking
and the things,
wags, are they?
I don't know. No, actually, I bet you they don't.
Yeah, no, talking to the girls, they're pretty excited about what the show is, holds, but they're
going
to be talking.
Going into
they're going to be, as you said, a different perspective on rugby league, so it should be interesting.
Stop growling. Just wait until you watch
it. Right. Yes. I'm positive. I don't want this to get back to Fox Sports that I was negative about any of the great shows.
So, Corey, with the 24 hours, 7 days a week, are we going to see, is it sort of some classic matches as well? Because it's not, I guess they'll replay the games from the round. But I remember around Origin time they were playing really good old games, and every now and again they'll show old grand finals. Is there going to be some of that as well?
Yeah, all the above. And you know, those games you sort of touched on, there was nothing better than flicking the channel and you see a classic match or close grand finals, State of Origin and the like.
All right.
So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're going to see some sort of rugby league, whether it's a game or a
I
show.
I didn't realise this. My mum even watches this show, The Late Show, or the Matty Johns Footy Show. It used to be on the Monday night. That's moved, I see, to Thursday night, which means it'll go head-to-head against Fatty Vaughton's show.
Yeah, it will.
Fatty v. Matty. Any comments, anybody?
Well, they're going to have to... It's going to really put a strain on the dresses at the various television channels as they try and
outdo
each other.
The other interesting one there, Marto, is the Professor's Second Year Syndrome
show. I love
show.
The Professor.
So we all know sort of what the Professor threw up. So it's on.
I don't know what the Professor threw up.
I don't know what the Professor threw up.
He started on with one of the rugby shows, but he was also a producer. He showed he was funny on one of the rugby shows, but he was producing Matty Johns' show.
Oh, this is when they were stealing ideas from my soccer show.
That's right. I remember him.
Yes, right. Okay, that's right. I remember him very well.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Corey Parker, this is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to the All Queensland Rugby League show. The return of the South Queensland Crushers can't be too far away. I know that you're right behind that.
You're an avid Crushers man. I heard you saying that last week.
Hey, well, will we ever get a second team in Brizzy? We got it.
Oh, I don't think so.
Look, talk as a Bronco. Talk as a Fox Sports
person. Look, in terms of the game itself, could it survive? It could in that respect, we're talking, you know, we've all seen what's come out lately of the game and clubs running at a loss, and you want to talk about putting another.
They won't
club
run
involved.
A loss up here. Grab the Bulldogs or anyone else who's going broke
if
down
it's
there.
To be, I think they're at some stage in the near future or thereabouts, there could be a relocation, but I don't think a new entity.
So, Corey, we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and you're making school lunches. Does this mean now that you're back at work and that's finished?
It does. Yeah, it does, clearly.
That's not happened. You failed as the lunchtime dad guy.
Are you at work now?
I didn't fail, but the kids are very honest and they let me know that my lunches weren't quite as good as mum's. So
yeah, Margot's is pretty good.
Well played, mate. Success, yeah.
NRL Channel, it's all day, every day, and it starts today. Looking forward to your involvement, Mr. Corey Parker. Good to see you. Thanks.
Cheers, guys.